perfect either. This morning in our gospel, we get probably one of the top 10, maybe best known stories of the Bible, a story that most people in some way or another can probably recount, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But I suspect that we hear the story differently than how it's supposed to be read. And there's a couple reasons for that. The first is that for us, modern readers, the word Samaritan has become a positive word. We see somebody walking down the street and she helps another person across the street, your proverbial little old lady across the street, and we might say, oh, she was a good Samaritan. And so we have Samaritan as primarily a positive word. But in the telling of this story, Samaritan is not a positive word. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Another reason we might hear the parable differently than how it is supposed to be read is because deep down, we are all like the lawyer. Now in this story, a lawyer who is not a lawyer as we traditionally would think of a lawyer. This lawyer is a person who has studied Scripture and specifically has studied the commands of the Old Testament. And people around the community would come to him and ask for him to give a right interpretation of the commands so that they could know if they were doing right or wrong or how it's supposed to be played out. So this guy knows the Word of God. He probably has it memorized. And this lawyer comes to Jesus and he tests him with a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, being a good rabbi, flips the question back on him. Well, what does it say in the Scriptures? How do you read it? And the man says, love God and love my neighbor. And then Jesus tells him, yeah, you got it right. Go and do this. And then the man asks another question, and the Scriptures are telling in his motivation behind his question. He is seeking to justify himself. He's seeking to make it so that he is right before God, is basically what he's doing. And so he's asking Jesus what the boundaries of that command that he just recited is. So he asks Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? This is how we are like the lawyer. We have in ourselves a natural tendency to want to justify ourselves, to make sure that before God, well, we're already doing the right thing. See, the lawyer is basically asking Jesus, how far do I have to go to do this commandment? Who is my neighbor? Is that person my neighbor? Now tell me, Jesus, this person surely isn't my neighbor. I don't need to serve them. I'm obeying the law by not serving or loving them, correct? The lawyer would have people excluded. Basically, he's asking Jesus for a how-to manual on how to inherit eternal life. He's taking what should be a gospel, a good word, and making it into a how-to manual. He's trying to be justified. And so when we hear this passage, we immediately think the same thing. Okay, now I have to be a good Samaritan. I have to go and love my neighbor without taking into account what the rest of Scriptures say. Here's how the parable should be heard. There are four main characters in this parable. We're only going to worry about two of them this morning. The two we're not going to worry about is the priest and the Levite. We are going to worry about the man who is walking around gets beaten up, gets stolen from, and gets left for dead. And we're going to worry about the Good Samaritan. The first person is the one who is beaten up. In the language of Scripture, in the words that Jesus is using here, this person is the only one who isn't specifically identified in any way. He is the most random person there is. There is nothing specific about him. And that is intentional, because that person is everyone. We are that person. Jesus mentions a priest. That's a specific person. He mentions a Levite. That's a specific person. He mentions a Samaritan. That's a specific person. But the person at the center of the story, there's nothing specific about this person at all. He is every man. He is every woman. He is the lawyer. He is you and I. And it is telling that the person who rescues this man is a Samaritan. Because to the Jews in Jesus' hearing, a Samaritan is not a good person. In fact, to those who are hearing this parable, Samaritans are despised. They are feared. They are unclean. They are not fit, and it's actually against the law for the Jews to marry them, to have association with them. They are the hated outsiders. Picture it this way. They are maybe a Muslim moves into our community, wears the full Muslim garb, looks like a person that might even serve ISIS. Think of your response to seeing that person. That's how it might feel to see that person. The Samaritan is the outsider. The Samaritan is the enemy of the man left for dead. When we read this passage, we aren't initially supposed to see ourselves as the Good Samaritan. We are the one who is left beaten, robbed, lying on the road, left for dead. And the telling thing about this parable is that the one who hates Samaritans is actually rescued by the Samaritan. You and I are left for dead. And the Scriptures, Romans, speaks of us as being enemies of God. Paul talks about how we are opposed to the very nature of who God is, that we, from the very beginning, have set ourselves up against the Lord and all His commands, all that He does. From the very beginning, we have been rebellious against Him. To be a sinner means to be one who is opposed to God. As people robbed, beaten, left for dead, we are also enemies of the Lord. But who is it that comes and rescues this man? It is the man's very enemy. And just like you and I, this man is rescued by a Samaritan. Our Samaritan, though, is Jesus Christ, who sees known enemies of his lying dead, broken, left in their sin, and comes before them, pulls them up, binds their wounds, heals them, brings them to a place where they can be cared for, and does all of this free of charge. The one we hate is the one who rescues. We are not the Good Samaritan in this story. We are the one left on the roadside. And the one we hate is the one who rescues. Before we can ever hope to obey the command of God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, we first have to be rescued by our heavenly neighbor. And that is what he has done for us. The Lord in his mercy gives us this gift, gives us our own rescue when we could do nothing about it. And now the key in this is then in faith we respond to what our Good Samaritan has done for us. And then we obey the command that Jesus has given us to go and do likewise. Because in faith, we respond because we can't help it. When you have been rescued, you can't help but want to rescue and help others. The Good Samaritan pulled us up so that we could also then go be Good Samaritans to the rest of the world. But make no mistake, Scripture speaks also of the world hating you and I on account of Christ. But as Christ went to those who hate him, so we go to those who are also enemies of the cross. We are motivated then by the love of the Lord. What he has done for us, we then do for every man. So when we hear this story, this great, beautiful parable, we remember first that we were the ones on the roadside and that Christ himself is the Good Samaritan. And as ones rescued by him, we then go and be the Good Samaritan. Let us pray. O gracious and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your rescue through Jesus Christ who died for us to give us new life, to give us forgiveness, to reconcile us to our heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for being our Good Samaritan, for picking us up when we were down and left for dead. And now, Lord, we pray too that in obedience to your command and through your faith and through the Spirit that you have given us, that you would help us then to love our neighbor as ourselves, even as we love you, O Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.